Frisch serviert, der Steuerpodcast.
Welcome to our podcast. Today we have a very special podcast. Three things which are special today is, first of all, we are all sitting together in one room, which is amazing. Secondly, we have the usual suspects here. So we have the Niels Pippert from Freudenberg. We have Christoph Richter from PwC and myself, Kati Fieder, also PwC. And we have a special guest here, which is Ellie McCaffrey from Ireland. Ellie is an Irish partner and Ellie is heading our global transfer pricing technology committee project, whatever we want to call it.
Thanks for having me, guys. Really excited to be here.
Welcome. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. So Ellie, as you know, we do that on a regular basis. And today, this session, we want to talk about technology, AI, data in transfer pricing. So this is kind of in sync or linked to our, I would say, mother podcast, the General Tax Podcast, where we talked about taxation and technology in general. And today we want to take it a little bit deeper and want to talk about technology, AI, data in transfer pricing. And maybe the first opening question would be, Niels, when did you use the last time in AI and for what?
So basically, it's part of my daily life. Yeah. So looking into, I have an application called Mammoth AI, no commercials today, but the secret there is you can have different large language models and can play around with it. And if you ask me that special question, so not really related day to day, but which is a kind of special question I had with regard to gardening. So where we would like to have a special place in the garden, where we wanted to plant flowers, which, you know, can deal with to be dry and not a lot of rain. And so the German term would be Präriegarten. We looked into AI and asked, okay, please be our gardener and what kind of flowers we should use.
Let's see what comes out of that next year, right? Ellie, what about you?
Well, I arrived in Hamburg yesterday. So I used it to help me find restaurants last night. And I landed in this beautiful restaurant called Edmondo. It was gorgeous. Italian, fantastic. We had a lovely meal. So Okay. Yeah, Claude helped me with that.
Amazing. Good. Next time you have to take us. I've never been to that restaurant. Mm-hmm. Let's start with technology. Niels, what kind of technology is Freudenberg using for the tax function?
When we define technology more in a broader sense, then of course technology starts, for example, with document management, which is an essential part, maybe not only for an in-house tax advisor, but we realize to organize ourselves, so tax audits, for example, our different consultancy projects, their technology document management is really an asset. A second example, when we look more into the transfer pricing area, is to prepare the transfer pricing documentation, really technology driven. And here, indeed, we decided years ago for a PwC solution called GlobalDoc. And a third example, also related to transfer pricing, would of course be operational transfer pricing. So, which is not, so to speak, a project we have run really in the tax department, because this has to be close to the business and therefore is part of the controlling functions of our different business groups. But here, technology is really a key asset, really, to have transparency and to have a certain level of robustness, especially for tax audit, just to be prepared. No? Maybe these three examples what technology we use in our tax department.
And how have you found that technology has enabled your teams from a process point of view?
So you make a very good keyword, process. I think first of all, you need to think to learn in processes. Yeah. So to step back for a moment. And one really, I would say, important journey we started is to work with Signavio and dive really into those overviews. So to really think, how does our documentation process look like? And when I'm saying our documentation process, we have not that one documentation process. As Freudenberg is, I always say, a conglomerate of mid-sized companies, a group of mid-sized companies. And therefore, we have different documentation processes depending on the setup we have in our business groups. Therefore, the enabling factor was really to step back, to start to think in processes, because when you start to think in processes, then you realize, okay, this is maybe not the most efficient way we are doing things, or this is not really the most compliant way we are doing things. And then you start to redesign processes. So really process thinking is, I think, an essential part.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. When I'm working with clients as they think about their technology journey, that's actually one core part of where we start is like, well, what are your processes and where can technology enable any part of that process? Sometimes what I find actually, particularly lately, we see a lot of CFOs issuing mandates to their tax teams to say, I want to, you know, use AI in the tax function, but it lacks kind of any structure or strategy behind how or why. So I think breaking it down by process is actually a very clever way to do it, because I think you'll see benefits pretty quickly.
Yeah.
The other area actually that I'm seeing more and more of is, from a strategy perspective, is starting to think, well, how can AI help me from a judgmental point of view? So looking at areas, particularly from a transfer pricing perspective, where there's a lot of judgment being exercised. So you mentioned planning, you also mentioned controversy. So could AI, and particularly the data analytics side of AI, help you visualize your data, get and drive insights so that you can exercise human judgment in a much more efficient way?
Yeah, and we started that kind of journey, and maybe it's worth to talk a few seconds about the structure of our tax department, and in particular the transfer pricing team. Because let's say what we have really done, I would say, in the last 5 years is that we have specialized our team more and more. So when I'm saying specialized, so we are operating in the transfer pricing team, you could name it service lines. Yeah, four service lines. So one service line is dealing with TP consultancy. So where we really have a business partner being a transfer pricing consultant for our business group. One is TP controversy. One is TP compliance, so in particular dealing with the transfer pricing documentation. And the fourth service line is global tax processes and tax analytics. And that fourth pillar is really doing what you just said. So we have started to really analyze our data, where for sure pillar two was one enabler for that whole project. But before we then started to use AI, and we are really here just at the beginning, it's, you know, a whole set of homework, I would say, you would have to do. Yeah, where are your data coming from? What kind of structure do you need? Those kinds of questions.
Yeah, I think it's really important to, at least from a TP perspective, to start the thing. I always think about it like, what are the 15 or 20 pieces of information, the data that I need to create this, you know, data lake. Data lake sounds like a, you know, a very complex thing to build, but it's not really.
Yeah.
It's really just like, what are the 15 or 20 things that I need? Where do they live today? And how can I bring them together? Because if you can bring them together and have all the data sitting in one place, it suddenly becomes very easy to scale AI on top of it. But as you say, there's homework to be done. There's a process to follow to make sure that works.
Yeah. And I would say, if we talk about data lake, if you would ask 10 different tax departments how they define data lake, even if you ask PwC, different partners, directors, whoever you see, they should provide a definition of data lake. I'm pretty sure you would get different answers. There is maybe one kind of theoretical definition what a data lake should be. But it depends really also on the structure of the company.
Yeah.
And to give you an example, I already mentioned that Freudenberg is that kind of conglomerate.
Mm.
So you can imagine how our ERP landscape looks like. So, of course, we are far away from having one SAP template. And that's not our goal, because every business need to have its own, let's say, answers to that question. So therefore, we define for our data lake basically two things. One is we should have the master data for our legal entities in an appropriate, accurate, and very granular way. So we have roughly, before the latest acquisition, We have done 430 entities under full consolidation in around about 60 countries.
Wow.
Yeah. After now a bigger acquisition we have done, we are going close to 500. So you need really to be, you need to have a very good organization on that kind of master data. And the second topic is financial information, where we have from a central point of view only access to our consolidation system and data related to the consolidation system. But as a consequence, for transfer pricing purposes, we are not able really to see transaction group details, transactional based details. There we need ERP details, transactional details, which we don't have in our data lake. And I'm pretty sure if you would talk to other companies, other consultants, they would define also transactional data as part of their data lake. We are not yet there.
That's one of the biggest topics, right? Find transactional data. So I would say sometimes 70% of the whole documentation work is finding the transaction data and getting it right, so that after years in a tax audit, you don't have to correct yourself and say, no, it's not that volume, it's a different volume. Hmm. Do you see that a lot?
Yeah, absolutely. And the transactional data is always the hardest data to pull into your data lake. But what I love about what you just described, Niels, is very much the journey you're on. And I think that's where, you know, for companies out there who are just starting to think about how do I want to use AI, it's really around thinking about, well, what is my data landscape looking like today? And where can I get some quick wins, some small areas where maybe you can start to build that data lake? And then over time, you can start to improve it, add more data in there, think about the areas of your business where you want to exercise more judgment. And that might then define, you know, different types of data that needs to feed into the data lake. But yeah, don't let perfect be, you know, the enemy of good. It's all around progress and trying to, build something and then start to scale it over time.
And it's really then kind of small steps, so to speak, forward. And to give one example for those steps, when I'm saying we don't have transactional data in our data lake, yes, that as a basic message, this is right. But of course, we have transactional data more linked to our, I call it, corporate transactions. So cash pooling is one example, as cash pooling is really managed centrally. And for those, let's say, cash pools in, I don't know, 10 different currencies we have, where, of course, we have a different arm's length test behind. Of course, we have those transactional data. We can provide them centrally. Same would be for our brand license. We are charging centrally. Of course, for those kind of transactions, we have data available. We can provide this centrally. But then it really starts to dive into the structures of our business groups and to improve the situation there.
Mm-hmm. And have you found that you've been able to use AI then on some of that data? Have you started that journey yet?
Where we started using AI is not really by defining what kind of transaction groups we have, by looking into transactional data, analyzing them, for example, the text we have in a booking code or something. But what we started is when we have a kind of segmented P&L. Mm-hmm. And the segmented P&L can, of course, be relatively complex depending on the transaction an entity has. And then we started really, if we use, for example, Copilot and asking the analyzer, please have a look into those data. And then you see how important context prompting is. Of course, you can just upload the table and you can ask, okay, what do you see? Just make an analysis. But you see that the outcome is not really a valuable outcome. But if you provide information, how is this P&L structured? What kind of columns do I have? Who is the tested party? Then you realize how AI really starts to understand the P&L, starts to understand the whole context, asking questions. For example, do you have benchmark information which I can use really to test and so on? So this is an exciting journey, but we are here, frankly speaking, at the very beginning.
Yeah, and I think most groups are, and certainly my experience is most groups are starting with compliance as a as a bedrock for use cases. So how can you automate maybe local file preparation? How can you automate CBCR preparation? How can you use AI to do some of the quality checks that maybe we've all been doing manually up until now? What I'm really excited, I think that's a super place to start, but what I'm really excited for is when we start to look forward and start to see things like AI audit agents or digital twins. So, and what I mean by that is really real-time scenario analyses. Yeah. I think if you take your benchmarking, for example, where let's say in Poland, you need Polish-only comparables, having a simulation that says, well, what's my range if I only have Polish comps? All of that in real time, I think gets really exciting. And it makes compliance far easier, to be honest, in the long term.
And when we stay for a moment with documentation, yeah, the first thing you mentioned, I think documentation is really an area of application. So, for example, translation work.
Yeah.
Of course, we are not using since the last 6 months. So people, for example, SOS One solution. So different languages, especially in tax audits or to provide a local file translation. So language is not really a barrier anymore. Yeah. And for me, it's really impressive to see when you have a meeting in Teams or any other application and you see that real-time translation function. And I really have to say in those foreign tax audits where I was involved, we had always the very good situation that we could talk in English to the tax auditor. Mm. But even if that would not be possible, I think with the current stage of technology we have, and give it another 6 months, another 12 months, so real-time translation should not really be a problem. So therefore, to support also in countries outside Germany in tax audits, this is one big area. And you mentioned also consistency checks in local files. I think that's also one very good example. We are starting to create agents providing with the content, then really doing that kind of consistency checks. And I'm pretty sure this will also change the whole service provider view that nowadays you can really, with different function and risk profiles, just with one or two clicks, check the quality level of your documentation.
Yeah. Is it compliant with OECD standards? Is it compliant with Italian standards? Whatever the request might be. I do think AI can really enable that.
And Ellie, would you agree when AI is taking over that part, that consultancy itself, it's somehow back to what consultancy was invented for? Yeah,
yes.
That's at least my impression. You don't need to put together any work which you may have done in the past, where a young consultant has done that work, where he would need that level of education he or she has. So that's at least my impression, that consultancy is somehow back to what consultancy was invented for.
I couldn't agree more. I think what AI really allows us to do is spend time exercising our judgment. So it highlights patterns and data. It gives us insights that we probably would have taken us weeks or months before to really drill into it. It does the data analytics for us. So then what we need to do is then read between the lines, read between what's going on in the data and say, here's what my experience is telling me. Here's how we, you know, bring this to a tax authority and elaborate on our story, right? Because that's really important, particularly in a controversy landscape or indeed in planning.
Yeah.
I think that gets really exciting. The bit that we're thinking a lot about, though, is how do we train our people in that world? Because they don't have necessarily the same bedrock of maybe compliance work that they might have had before. So how do they use AI to upskill and build their judgment at an accelerated pace?
Yeah, that's really key, I would say, to train the people and to make some time really to think about. Because I would agree that now you have time to do maybe more valuable things. But of course, you need to invest this time first in really to train and to educate people. Because some of my colleagues or some of the people you know, they have that kind of impression, okay, that's now that latest hot shit to talk about AI and to use AI. And when you start then prompting and you may have your first experience, which is not really a very valuable experience or where you are a bit disappointed, then you're saying, okay, but it took me longer than if I would have done it the old-fashioned way. And at least what I'm very thankful for is that in my company, the Freudenberg has an education program. Yeah, so we use Copilot as one application, especially in the SG&A areas. And our IT has set up a kind of Copilot Academy. Yeah, so where you can join also different education and training journeys. And this week, that's, for example, a session I have today where we really try to focus on special areas. Yeah. So, for example, I'm a finance person, and then to build a finance community and how to use those tools, especially for the finance community. Mm-hmm. Or if you make your HR community, how can AI help your community there? Or if you are an assistant working in communication, what kind of maybe special questions you have. And this is something which has really low barriers. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can have then the recording later on if you don't have the time really to be part of the meeting itself. There's a kind of Q&A session we have during the week. So we really try to enable our colleagues to really make use of it. Because at mm-hmm. the end of the day, it's a lot of money we are paying, yeah. Also mm-hmm. for that additional license. So therefore, you really have to make sure that the people use.
But I think that tone from the top is so important, because what you're saying is we really want to invest in your future learning and development in an AI enabled way. Yeah, I think that's a really important message. We're doing the same in PwC, where we have an academy with London School of Business. And I think all of that is really important because we're investing in our people and making sure that they're growing and evolving in what is an entirely new and evolving landscape that's changing so fast.
I think it will be very intense, especially in the next 3 to 5 years, because if you look at the universities and how a university education looks like at the moment, it's not so much influenced by AI and how I deal and work with AI, right? It's very, I would say, old fashioned. So it's a lot about education and knowledge, of course. And then those young people come into their professional life and then they meet those AI tools and processes and technology. And I guess they are very confused in the beginning what to do. So how would you deal with that?
For me, there's probably two core values that are really important. And we talked about them, Niels, before we went live. It's around being curious. So really, like when the AI gives you an answer, it's just keep asking why. If you don't understand it, why? Like, just keep drilling until you're absolutely sure that you understand the entirety of the issue. So that to me is number one. And then the other thing is probably very linked, to be honest, is critical thinking. So really standing back from it and asking yourself, like, what is the bigger picture here? What do I want AI to do in this landscape? Because at the end of the day, AI cannot execute human judgment. And that is our superpower in this new world that we're all trying to find our feet in.
And I think that's so important, especially the critical thinking. When you get an AI written piece, it reads so nice, so well. So it's like you read it the first time, it's logical. So you can just take it off. But if you read it the second time, you actually realize what is written there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think this critical thinking part is one of the most important things young guys, also older guys, should have.
Yeah. Maybe just one question, Niels. You talked about your AI tools a bit. So what are you currently using? What are your setups, basically? And what do you think will be the future? Will you have Claude Code in the next 6 months? What can you expect?
So what we are currently using is Copilot, as the whole, let's say, Copilot landscape, so to speak. And we have also a tool which we're using. It's called Fiscus AI. That's from a different consultancy company where we started to look into more deep into, because there you can have also different large language models behind. You can a little bit play around. You have a matrix, for example, where you can check things. And if you ask me about the future, the recommendation I would give, what I have heard when we started our journey, is it's important to start. Which tool we are using in 12 months, frankly, I do not know. Mm. But things are developing so fast. So therefore, it's important to start. Yeah. And then let's see what's coming. Yeah. And I mean, you mentioned stay curious, which is really music in my ears. This is one of our claims, especially the claim we had when we celebrated the 175 years anniversary of the company, where we really started a stay curious week, not only related to AI, but especially stay curious, critical thinking, one important point here.
The other point that we haven't touched on that I think is really important is governance and controls. Mm-hmm. So I think it's really important, particularly again, as anyone is looking at their data landscape, is making sure that the controls are there. Because if you start accelerating processes using technology, but the controls are not strong enough, very quickly that process will break down if you scale it with AI or any form of technology. So again, I think it's going back to the basics and fundamentals as well, and saying, well, if this is my process, these are the controls that I need at each stage, so that as you start to accelerate things, you don't need to question, I suppose, or constantly check those controls procedures, because they're baked into the process. Yeah. To me, that's another really important area.
And maybe taking this point, so controls and processes, so tax compliance management systems, if we talk about that for a minute. So that's where I really could provide a dedicated example how we use AI as those, I think, tax compliance management systems, and really having those systems up and running is really key for the future. So what we have done is that we, for example, use the transcript function when we have interviews, when we talk about processes. And with the context prompting in the back, you can then generate, upload information really to put it in Signavio. And then you are not starting with a white piece of paper. Yeah. So you have your interview, you have your transcript, you have your specific agent, which are transferring that transcript into a Signavio upload file. And then you can really start working further work on the process. And then in the next step, then discuss and define specific controls and use then an agent really to exchange ideas, to ask questions, what kind of controls do we need. And this whole, let's say, landscape, that's what we call our tax CMS factory, which is a very nice example, really, to be efficient in setting up those systems. I mean, it's a long way to go, then really have it up and running. And especially in a German context, then to have benefits out of it in the tax audit, because currently, as far as I know, German tax authorities, even if you have an up and running tax compliance management system, there is no dedicated statement, okay, this point is then more easy in an audit. So we are really here right at the beginning of that process. But when I'm looking into how the whole career opportunities are developing, or people getting older, so it's really a kind of war of talents also for the tax authorities. So therefore, I think we need to go into that direction. And then in an audit, it would really pretty much process driven, maybe data analytics driven. And yeah, that will be an interesting journey.
And I'm definitely seeing tax authorities move in that way. And Katie, I know you'll have a view on this too. Like, what I'm certainly seeing is quite often the business case for larger scale tech investments tends to be things like, how can I close my quarter quicker? Like, I want to cut 5 days off my quarter. Tech should enable me to do that. But the only way that you can speed it up at that rate is to have really strong control procedures. And what we're seeing more and more now is tax authorities saying, describe your control landscape to me. What do your control procedures look like? Rather than auditing necessarily the data itself, they're actually standing back and looking at the control landscape. Mm. And I think that's really interesting.
Absolutely. Another topic which we could talk about for hours, but unfortunately, we have to come to a close. And I would like to ask you a final question. Just to mention, yesterday we had a power cut at home. So for the whole day, the power was out. And at some point in time, all the batteries were run out, right? So we were sitting there, it was getting dark. And it was feeling really strange not to have anything. No AI, no phone, no whatever. So how quicker or how faster do you think AI makes your life, Niels?
I'm not sure if AI currently is really making my life faster. Yeah, when I'm looking into my schedule, my calendar, so the whole job, so to speak, is so to speak, generates a certain level of speed. So therefore, if AI really is making it faster itself, I do not know. Maybe ask me in 6 or 12 months. Maybe then it's faster. But you know, having a small daughter, so this is then also a certain level of speed you have anyway in your life. And at least the big advantage I would have in my home, I really have a lot of books I can read, and I have some candles. So therefore, even if we would have a power outage and AI would not work, I would know what I'm doing. Yeah.
I don't think it's speeding me up. What I think, what I love about AI, it challenges my thought process. So if I'm coming up with an idea for, particularly when I'm experimenting with maybe like a podcast, or we're preparing for our global conference at the moment, Cathy, and I'm using AI to like challenge the user experience and, you know, think a little bit more creatively, it can give me ideas. But I have to give it the context and my idea for what I want to get out of the session, for example. But I think AI can really challenge your perspective. And I really enjoy that. But if anything, that actually slows me down because it's making me think from another angle. But to me, that is something that I use AI for all of the time.
And what about you, Cathy? How slow or fast was your...
We ended up reading books with at candlelight. And talking, my sons were all there and we sat around the table and talked. It was a very strange but very nice situation. Yeah. So it was really good. I think the idea is actually good news. We will get back to this topic in at the latest 6 months. And then we will see whether our life has become even more quicker, faster. How would you say it?
How evolved to become.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting.
So I would say thank you very much. This was a very special edition. I hope we can do that again. Thank you, Niels. Special thank you, Ellie.
Thank you for having us.
And Christoph for doing all the tech work.
Yeah, here. Sure. This time, instead of Arsen, right? Well, thanks, Arsen, for the infos up front. Yeah.
And here also an example where AI helped.
Absolutely. I wasn't sure whether that would work, but it worked at the end. But I think that was a nice twist to think about what happens without AI, right? It's nice to be in an analog world as well. Fine.
Then tune in the next time.
See you soon.
Bye.
Thanks.
Frisch serviert, der Steuerpodcast, powered by CH Beck.